Here's what Jesus said in the Amplified Bible from John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in an abundance to the full till it overflows." How many wants life like that? Isn't that what it's about? Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? See, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for every life. And the plan that God has is to take you to abundance. But what we don't understand is that oftentimes a thief doesn't only come. Now, you know, finally it's going to be the devil. It's going to be the evil one. But what happens oftentimes is the people that we associate with help the enemy to take life from us, to steal life from us. People that we have in relationships, people that we do life with, people that are very close to us will actually aid the enemy in taking life from us. He did with Jesus, and he will with you. Remember Peter? Remember Peter? When Peter and Jesus were walking along and Peter came up with this idea, Jesus turned to Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, the closest people in your inner circle will be used of the devil to actually take life from you. And of course, he showed up in Judas. And he'll show up in your life too. In fact, there are people and relationships that you have right now that if you're not aware of what they're about, they will take life from you and keep you from experiencing the abundant life. So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about, we're doing a series called The Abundant Life. And today's topic is relationships. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn in them to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Be there. I'll be there in a few minutes. And then 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And while you're turning there, they'll leave those up on the screen so you can find them. I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you. Father, I want you to show us today how important relationships are in our having and experiencing an abundant life. Help us see this. Lord, use me. Let me go forth as a sower sowing seed. And I pray that this seed that you're going to sow today is going to fall upon good soil. And Father, we will evaluate every single relationship, every single person in our lives. And we'll make sure that they're bringing us to abundance. I ask you to help us and bless us. Let our ears hear what the Spirit says. Let our hearts receive your good word. In Jesus' name I ask this and pray this. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. People that you do life with have a profound influence upon your life. There's no doubt about it. If you hang with wise people, you will make wise decisions. You will live an abundant life. If you hang with wise people, you will go to success. You will have a successful life. If you hang around with happy people, you will be a happy person. You can't avoid it. This is what I'm going to show you in just a second. But the opposite is just as true. If you hang around gossips, you hang around with mad, angry people, you hang around with people that talk about people, you're going to start talking about people. If you hang around with sad, depressed people, you are going to get sad. You're going to get depressed. What they have will get on you, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. And nobody is immune to this. Nobody, not a single person, can avoid this. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Now, what that verse is telling you and I, what that verse is saying is that we will become exactly like the people that we hang with, that we make companions in our life with. Put that back up there for me, please. Look at that. If your companion is a fool, you'll be destroyed. If your companion in life, the people that you do life with, is a fool, that will work destruction, take life from you. But if your companions in life are wise people, then you will become a wise person. So what the Bible teaches us is that the people that we do life with have a profound influence upon the lives that we experience. And nobody is immune to this, and nobody is different from it. Today, I want to challenge you today. I want you to look at every single relationship that you spend time with. Or where are they taking you? Do they have a vision for life? Are they successful? Or where are they doing? Are they coming down in life? Do they depress you? Do they bring you down? Or are they taking you to excellence? Are they taking you to failure? Because they're taking you one way or the other. Are you satisfied with mediocrity? Or do you want an abundant life? See, Jesus says, "I come to give you an abundant life. I want you to have life to the full." And what will affect our lives, what will help
and take life from us is hanging with people and doing life with people that are going in the wrong direction. And I don't care who you are. It works for adults and it works for kids. It works for young people and old people. It works for male and female. I don't care who you are or what you do. It's going to work in your life, the people that you do life with. So I want to challenge you today. I want to inspire you today to look at your life and see who you do life with. Now, the Bible is very clear about who to do life with and who not to do life with. Who to have companions for life and who not to have companions. For example, we're not supposed to be companions with angry people or people that have a short temper. Here's what Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24 says. Keep away from angry, short-tempered men, people, lest you be like them and endanger your soul. Now, I want to ask you why. Leave that up there for me for a second. Why do we not hang with, do life with, companion with angry and short-tempered people? Why? So you won't be like them. Because what they have will get on you. What they're going through will eventually happen to you. You will become like that and it will endanger your soul. But what if they're a believer? What if they go to church with you? Doesn't matter. You avoid them. Hear me. Don't hang out with angry, short-tempered people because you will become angry and short-tempered. You will become critical. You will become just like them. So the Bible tells us not to do that. Another one is don't hang out with lazy and foolish people. Proverbs 14:7 says, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. Foolish people make foolish decisions. And if you hang out with foolish people, you will find yourself making foolish decisions. You can't help it. It's going to get on you. The foolish decisions that they make are going to suck you into their lives. You're going to get in Jonah's boat. You're going to be going the wrong way. You should be going to Nineveh. And you're trying to run from the thing that, or get away from the thing that God wants to do in your life. So, foolish people make foolish decisions, but what if this foolish person is a believer? Should you still hang with them? Just because they're a Christian? No, you still avoid them. You have to learn. And I'm going to get into all this. I'm going to try to make it clear. We've got to help them. We're going to pray for them. But we can't let that set the environment of our lives. If we want an abundant life, we've got to be wise like this. Another kind of person that we are told to stay away from and to avoid is our gossips. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man, a person, who talks too much. Now look at that verse. You cannot trust this person. A gossip is talking about somebody, and when they get away from you, they're going to talk about you. A gossip is a gossip. Stay away from this person because it will get on you, and you will become like them. And you will begin talking about people, and it will endanger your soul, and it will damage your relationship with people. It will damage your relationship with Jesus Christ because He can't bless you. You become a gossip. Avoid a gossip. What if the gossip is a believer? What if the gossip is a churchgoer? Goes to church where you go, sits beside you. Does that make it right? Still avoid them. Stay away from them. Do not let them get in your barn. Do not let them get in your life. Don't let them be a companion. Don't let them set the environment in which you live. You avoid them. Cannot trust them. Can't trust them even if they're a believer. Don't do it. One more. Person loose in morals. Stay away from them. Proverbs 5:8 says, keep to a path far from her. Speaking of adultery. Do not go near the door of her house. People loose in morals, stay away from them. Don't do life with. Why? You tell me why. If you hang around a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. Am I right? If you don't want to get stung, don't rub up against the wasp nest. If you hang with people that are loose in morals, then you're going to get loose in morals too. And eventually it's going to happen to you. Eventually you're going to do something that's going to bring your life into destruction. Watch out for these things, the Bible says. So it's very clear. The Bible is very clear as to how, what, and the things that we should avoid in life and the people that we should avoid in life. Now, God wants to bless our lives. Do you believe that? Does God have a plan for your life, for your abundance? Did Jesus come to give you an abundant life? Did He? Come on. Yes, He did. But you see, we've got to understand that God cannot bless our lives if we're hanging with the wrong people. If we're walking with, talking with, and sitting with the wrong people, God can't bless us. Let me show you this in Proverbs, in Psalms rather, in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, "Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." See, God blesses us when we avoid certain people. God will bless your life because you don't get around a life that gets on you in a negative way. You avoid that, and God will bless. Blessed is the person that avoids these things, that don't allow these to be the companions in life, that does not allow these people to do life with them. That's how God blesses us. It's extremely important. It's profoundly important. The relationships that you have, the people that do life with you, the people that companion you through life, they will take you to blessings or they will take you to destruction. And we need to learn to evaluate every single relationship that we have. Every single one. Now, listen, young people, I want you to hear me. There's nothing that the enemy would prefer doing than right now get you off course. Right now, you are able to identify people that are going someplace in life and people that are going no place in life. You are able to identify right now people that are always in trouble, always causing trouble, and will always be and cause trouble. And you are also able to identify right now people that are going somewhere. I remember in school, you know, there was like three main groups of people. There were these, the cliquey kinds. You know, they wore the nice clothes, the brand names, and had the nice cars. The parents had money. But they were going somewhere, and they hung together. Remember that, folks? Remember that, older folks? But they were going somewhere in life. And they usually made good grades. They usually did real well. And then there were, on the other extreme, there were the troublemakers. There were the other group that was always in trouble, always causing trouble, always in the principal's office, you know, always getting expelled, always smoking in the bathrooms, you know, doing the things that they were not supposed to do, undisciplined, unruly. And they were going nowhere. Except now. And in the middle is this vast group that are being affected by one or the other. But most of them are satisfied with a simply mediocre life. A life of mediocrity. So I don't want us to be there. I don't want you to be there. I want you to decide, young people, right now, I am not going to be middle. I am going to be abnormal. I am going to be abundant. And you need to understand that. You need to make the decision right now. And the people that you run with profoundly influence what you will do in life. You're able right now to determine where people are going. Now, psychologists have a name for this. It is called the law of the group. Now, what the law of the group is simply this. Is that the people that we hang with, the people that we companion with, that we huddle with, the people that we are with, are how we see ourselves. The way you see yourself becomes the people that you hang with. If you see yourself as a loser, if you see yourself as a troublemaker, if you see yourself as down and outer, then that's the kind of people that you're going to be with. Look at your friends and you can tell who you are and what you are. On the other hand, if you got friends that are going someplace, that are on the track, that are on the ball, that have a vision for their life, that knows what they want to do, has some direction in life already, and if you hook up with that person, then that's what you see yourself as. You got a vision for life. You know what you want to do. You want to be successful. You want to have a good life, an abundant life. So all you have to do is look at your friends and you can see yourself. And it matters who you mess with. It matters who you hang with. It matters who you do life with. Do you know that Thomas Edison, Harry Firestone, and Henry Ford spent a lot of time together? They had a place in Florida where all three of them had houses side by side. And every summer, these three people who absolutely changed the way we do life spent time together. Think about that. Thomas Edison, you know, the light bulb, the filament, but also typewriters and all the inventions that this guy did. Brilliant. Henry Ford, the assembly line for automobiles. I mean, you know, it's because of these people getting together that they were able to excel and do well in life. Here's Firestone, rubber. See, and it's not consequential. It's not by consequence that these guys hung together and were brilliant and changed the way that we do life. And who you do life with will determine what you become in life. Who you hang with, who you do life with, who you have a companion through life with will definitely decide what you become, because you will hang with people just like you. Now, it's interesting to me as I look at the scriptures and I look through this, that the Bible talks about a guy named Elijah, a prophet of God, and a guy named Elisha, who was nothing but a farm boy. Elijah, the prophet of God, the old prophet of God, gave Elisha an opportunity to change his life. The Bible talks about he went, he flipped his mantle on him, and Elisha burned his bridges and took off and followed Elijah for the rest of his life. Yeah, this was fascinating to me because this is exactly what happens in our lives. This is kind of what happened to me. God gave an opportunity for Elisha to change his life, to do something with his life, to change his life from being a farm boy to becoming a man, a prophet of God. Let me show you this verse in 1 Kings chapter 19 in verse 21. It says, "So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant." See, God gave Elisha an opportunity to change his life. Years ago, I was in textiles. I had a good job. I was a plant supervisor, and I was making good money. I had a good life. We had a home. We were doing really well. But I felt the mantle of God kind of flip on me. And God gave me an opportunity to burn my bridges and follow Him. And I found myself in Lafayette, Georgia, doing my dream, doing what I so wanted to do. But I had to burn all those bridges. I had to quit my job. I had to follow my dream. I had to change my relationships. I couldn't stay in those old relationships and do what God had for me to do in my new way of going. God, I believe, will bring each of us to our Jordan River. God will bring each of us to a place in life where we can cross or stay in the wilderness. We can go on to our abundance. We can go on to our promised land, or we can stay right there in mediocrity. You got to make that decision. Are you going to burn the oxen? Are you going to burn the plow? Are you going to burn the yoke? Are you going to go on? Are you going to stay there? And it's all determined by who you fellowship with, by who your relationships are, by who you do life with, by who your companions are. Whether you're young or old, whether you're black or white, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, no matter who you are, it's all dependent upon this one thing. Who do you hook up with in life? Because that determines where you go. And Elisha followed Elijah for the rest of his life, for the rest of Elijah's life. He followed him. In fact, it got so on to Elijah, Elijah got kind of tired of it. And the Bible was talking there just before Elijah went on to be with the Lord. The Bible talks about it there, and it says that Elijah was either testing Elisha, and either he was testing or he was just tired of him following him around. And he says, "You stay here, and I'm going to go over here." And Elisha says, "As the Lord lives and as you live, where you go, I go." See, he pressed in. There are relationships that you got to press in. He did it again. He says, "You stay here, I'm going over here." He says, "As the Lord lives and as you live, you're not getting rid of me, I'm following you. And where you go, I go." And sometimes, you know, you have to be determined. People act like they don't want you around. But if you want what they've got, if you want a life like they have, if you want your life to go on and be something in life, then what you've got to do is press in. He said it again. "You stay here, I'm going there. As the Lord lives and as you live, I am going with you. You're not getting rid of me." Then as Elijah's time came to go on and be with the Lord, as that time for Elijah came, he said, "Elisha, what do you want from me?" I want you to see this, and I hope you turn to it in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Look at this. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. I want what you got. I want what you are. I want your spirit to get on me." You see, that's what happens to us. That's what the Bible talks about. If you hang with wise people, you will be wise because their spirit gets on you. If you hang with fools, you will be destroyed because their spirit gets on you. You can't avoid it. Their spirit intermingles with your spirit, and what they have, you receive. Elisha understood this. He said, "I want not only what you got, I want more. I just don't want to be what you are. I want to be twice as good as you." And we can do that. You see, our desire is not just... That's what God wants for you and for me. He has such an abundant plan for us, not just to stay there. He wants us to go on, and not just go on, but go on twice as much. I want my kids to be twice what I became. I want my grandkids to be twice what their parents became. I want a double portion. I believe I have gotten a double portion for what my dad became. See, that's God's plan for you. That's what God wants for your life and for my life, is to have an abundance. And it's determined by who we hang with, by who we do life with. And do you know that all the miracles that Elijah did were added up, and all the miracles that Elisha did were added up. And do you know what happened? Elisha had twice as many miracles as did Elijah. He got that double portion. He got it. God gave it to him. When Elijah was taken up in the fiery chariot, Elisha got his mantle, did twice the miracles. He became twice that. His life became so abundant, not because he stayed a plowboy, not because he stayed a farm child, but because he made the determination, "I am going to change. I have a dream. I want to be like this guy, and I'm going to follow him." Is that right? Now, I want to ask you a question. Why did Elisha get out of life what he got? Why did Elisha become what he became? Did he just pray? Did it just happen because he just prayed? Did he pray just because he had a dream? Why did it happen? Because he hooked up with a person who helped him find his destiny. Relationships are profoundly important on our lives. Relationships determine what we become. Relationships influence us to abundance or take us to destruction. And no one can make that decision as to who your relationships are but you. Don't hang with fools. Don't hang with angry people. Don't hang with gossips. Don't hang with immoral people. God can't bless you. But if you determine that this is what I want to be in life, and you hang with the right people, God will take you there. Now, I want you to understand what I'm trying to say and what I'm meaning here. It's not that we take old relationships and just throw people away. That's not what I'm talking about. We want to help those people. We want to encourage those people. But we can't use that as an excuse to stay in an unhealthy environment. We can't use, because these are my friends, we can't use that to stay in an unhealthy environment when God has something better for us. We have to lift our sights. We have to lift our goals, and we have to go on into what God has for us. Again, you know, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. If you rub with the wrong people, it's going to get on you. You know, people that are addicted to drugs, they didn't set out to be addicted to drugs. They were just going to play around with it. And so they got around people that played with drugs, and they became addicted to drugs. It wasn't their intention, but they got stung. People in prison, think about this. People that are in prison today, what had they not been around the relationships that they had and got around relationships that became maybe law enforcement or relationships that became something in life, successful in life? Would they be in prison today? No. They got around wrong people. They got around people that were fools. And they took them to destruction. And the abundant life that God had for them was stolen. The abundant life that God had for that drug addict was stolen because they got around other drug addicts. And life was stolen. You see, you can't use that because you have a relationship with someone that's not going anywhere. You can't allow that to control your environment. You've got to lift your eyes. You've got to go to another level. If you want to fly like an eagle, you can't hang out with chickens. Chickens just spend their whole life in a chicken coop, in a flock. Eagles fly alone. Eagles soar high. They soar free. And you have to decide, am I going to be a chicken? Or am I going to be an eagle? Am I going to peck around and scratch around? Or am I going to fly high? How do you want to go in life? Where do you want to be in life? Do you want to go higher than you are? Or are you going to settle for mediocrity? Chick around and scratch around in the chicken coop. See, you get to determine by your relationships. Your relationships determine what you will become. Every single one of us are affected by people in that dimension. Every single one of us. Now, some of you are always having to deal, like we tried to portray in the skit, with people. You talk to them on the telephone, and they share all their hurts and all their wounds and all their bruises and all their bad times with you on the telephone. Or you spend time with them at work, and you're hearing all their troubles and all their problems and stuff. And this has been going on for months and even sometimes years. Listen, you got to stop doing that. It's not that you're throwing them away, but you're not doing them any good. They're not doing what you've told them to do. If they would do what you told them to do, they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in. Hello? And they surely aren't doing you any good. They're bringing you down. Every time you talk to them, you come off the phone depressed, snappy. You come off the phone talking about them. Well, if they would just do what I say, then you get angry with them. Tell them, listen, you know, I can't hang with you anymore. I can't talk about this anymore. Find you somebody else because you're messing me up. If you don't, it's going to get on you. You're going to be talking, let's use this as an example, that this particular person's having a hard time with their spouse. And they're talking to you on the phone and they say, you know, it's so bad. It's so bad, you know, and eventually you're going to hear that so much and you're going to have a bad day and you're going to think, well, you think that's bad and you're going to say this, girlfriend, you ought to see what I go through. You think you're having a bad time. Girlfriend, you ought to see what I'm having to go through. And the next thing you know, you're going to be talking about your spouse. The next thing you're going to be doing is the same thing, and God will be able to bless you. We've got to learn that there are certain times that we've got to cut off situations and relationships and people that we do life with and people that we sit with and stand with and talk with. Judy and I do a lot of counseling, or we used to do a lot of counseling. And from time to time, we would run across situations where we would just have to say, listen, we can't talk to you anymore. They weren't doing what we asked them to do. They were just bringing us down. We would go home talking about them, you know. And so we've got to come to a place in life where we say, listen, I'm not going to hang with you anymore. I'll find you somebody to talk to. I'll help you. I'll try to do all I can. But I am not going to spend time with you. We can't allow those environments to dictate our lives. We can't allow relationships and use that as an excuse to dictate the environment by which we live. You've got to come to a place where you're going to say, I'm going higher. I am not going to allow this to continually control me. Now, again, I'm not talking here about witnessing. I want you to know that. I'm not talking about witnessing. I'm talking about people that we do life with. I'm talking about people we spend time with. We've surely got to witness. We've surely got to touch lives and tell people about Jesus and go out there as salt and light. We surely got to do that. But we don't have to hang with them. We don't have to allow their corruption to get on us. And I want you to see this in just a second. Because the people that you hang with that are corrupt people will cause you to be corrupt if you spend too much time with them. Let me show you this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it says this. Do not be misled. In other words, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That's the Bible. That's just not some foolish proverb. Bad company corrupts your character. You hang with bad company, it will mess you up. And I like the way the Living Bible says it in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Same verse. Don't be fooled. Don't miss this. Don't let you be deceived. Don't miss this point. Don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you will start acting like them. So I'm not talking about witnessing. We got to witness. We're supposed to witness. We're going to witness. What I'm talking about here is who we do life with, who we hook up with, who we allow to become companions in our life, who we let in our barn. We've got to think about it. Now, if you don't want to be stung, don't do what? Don't rub against that hornet's nest. If you don't want to fall in the river, don't walk along the bank. If you don't want to get a haircut, don't go to the barbershop. Right? If you don't want to get burned, don't play with fire. I don't know how I can say it, but if you get around it, it will get on you. And it will corrupt you. It will mess your character up. It will. Find you an Elijah to hook up with. Find you somebody that's got a vision. Find you somebody that's living at a level higher than you, that you can attain to. Get out of the chicken coop. Get out of the chicken pen. Fly high. God's given you wings as an eagle. He wants you to elevate. He wants you to go on and cross your Jordan River. You know, I want you to understand what God is trying to say to you today. Moses came to the Jordan River with the nation of Israel. And in the book of Exodus, it tells about their exit. And they, in the book of Numbers, it says that they come to the Jordan River the first time. And at that Jordan River, Moses sent 12 spies. And he said, I want you to go for 40 days, and I want you to come back and give us a report. And you know the story. 10 of those 12 came back with a very bad negative report. They came back saying there's giants in the land. They came back saying, oh, it's full of milk and honey. The grapes are wonderful. All these things are good. But I'm telling you that there are giants in the land. These cities are walled. There are thick walls. There are high walls. And he says, there's giants in the land. He says, but, you know, we can't do it. It's too bad for us. Within 24 hours, those 10 people had infected 2 million people. Within 24 hours, their negative things had corrupted that entire group of people. 2 million people became corrupt. They had already lost the fight. They had already gotten depressed in 24 hours simply because of these 10 people. Those people began pointing fingers. Those people began blaming everybody, gossiping, murmuring, complaining. Those people began blaming Moses. They began blaming this one and that one. We're going to die out here. They got a negative attitude. But there were two other people. There were two others that came back with a good report. Caleb and Joshua came back. And they weren't like those other 10. They avoided those other 10. They avoided those people. They wouldn't stay in the same tent. They were different. And I want you to see what it says in the Bible in Numbers 14:24. Numbers 14:24 says this, talking here about Caleb. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. See, not only are we affected by the people that we hang with, it affects our children. It determines where our children will go. You see, it is so vitally profound. Just the people that we hang with take us into the promise that God has for each life, or will keep us out of it. And those 2 million people didn't get to go into their promise. That whole generation died in the wilderness. You see, the group thing was working. The law of the group was working. Who you listen to, who you sit with, who you talk to, who you're going to be with. If you're going to be with the 10, and by the way, most of the time people are the 10. By the way, most people are mediocre lives. They'll stay right in the wilderness and they'll die in the wilderness. They never get to inherit the promise. But if you hook up with the right people, if you find some Joshuas and Calebs, if you find some people that are different, you see, you've got to be different if you're a Christian. If you want the abundant life, you've got to be different. You can't be in the chicken coop. You've got to fly high like an eagle. You've got to be different. And God will take you into the promised land. And not only you, but your kids. Not only your kids, but your grandkids. Well, hallelujah. I like that part. You see, God's got a plan for you. But you can't stay in the wilderness. when you come to the Jordan, you've got to determine what you're going to do. And every life has an opportunity to follow its dream. Every life comes to the Jordan. And the people that you hang with, the people that you run with, will either take you into it or keep you from it. You'll die in the wilderness and experience just manna, or you'll go into the land that's flowing with milk and honey and have houses you didn't build. You'll experience things you can't believe. God says, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and neither has entered into the hearts of men the things that I prepared for them. But I will reveal them to them by their spirit, by my spirit. See, God has things for you you can't yet imagine. There are things that God has for each life, each one of us. And the only way we're ever going to get it is sometimes by having new friends, changing our relationships, finding people that are going somewhere. If you don't, you're going to die in the wilderness. People will keep you out of your promised land. There are more non-dreamers than dreamers. 10-2. Find you a dreamer. Find somebody that's going someplace. Find somebody going to where you want to go and hitchhike with them. Get to where you want to go in life. Don't hook up with people that are going to die in the wilderness. Eagles fly alone. They don't stay with the chickens. How high do you want to fly? Where do you want your life to go? Do you want the abundance that Jesus came to give us? Sometimes you have to get new friends. Sometimes you have to focus on something new and fresh. That's why I love LifeGate. That's why I love the leadership here at LifeGate. Bunch of dreamers. We can do anything. Our God is well able. Amen? We can do it. Yeah, there's giants in the land. Absolutely. But our God is well able. Yeah. You got a bad report from the doctor. Yeah, the doctor gave you a bad report. Yeah, you got this disease. Yeah, you got this happening. But by His stripes, I am healed and I will beat this thing. Hallelujah. Yeah, you got laid off from work, but I know that God's got something better for me. I know that I can't wait to find out what it is, but I know whatever He's got is going to be bigger and better than anything I've ever experienced, because He's going to open a door that no man can shut. I know my God is well able. Yeah, there's giants in the land. Yeah, there are giants in the land. But our God is well able, and in Jesus Christ I can do all things. Come on, somebody. Yeah. It's all according to who you hook up with. That's why I like this place. That's why I love this church. That's why I love this leadership. Hey, can you have a barbecue and invite the whole city? Well, sure we can. Yeah, we can do that. Our God is well able. Come on. Right? Oh, can you have a service where all those people at the Tri-State Crematory, where they can be ministered to and they can come and get blessed? Oh, sure, that's no problem. Yeah, tell them to come on. Can you preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to this whole region? Well, absolutely. Hey, we're doing it. Come on. Yeah. Because we're well able. We have a vision. We're different. We're not in a chicken coop here. We want to go higher. We want to experience something that we've never experienced before. We want to do something that we've never done before. We want to see things we've never seen before. Because eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men things that God has prepared for us. He has a plan for your life. How many eagles do we have today? How many eagles are here? Come on. How many eagles we have? Come on. Yeah. How many Joshuas we got here? How many Calebs we got here? We got some Joshuas and Calebs. How many Elishas we got here? Come on. If that's you, shout to the Lord and give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah. Amen. 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 I want to encourage you today. I want you to know God has a plan for your life. I want you to know that you don't have to stay in mediocrity. I want you to know God wants you to cross that Jordan. God wants you to enter into the promise that He has for your life. God wants you to enter something that you've never experienced before. He has a plan for you, but you can't get it. And I really believe this. I believe that some of you are bound up and not experiencing the level of life that God has for you simply because you have relationships that are holding you back. You got to do something if you want the abundant life. You can't sit, talk, and stand with certain people. They will keep you out of your promise. God has something for you. And I really believe that if you will sever some of those relationships, not throw them away, just don't spend the time with them that you've been spending. Find you an Elijah. Find you a Caleb and a Joshua. Find you somebody that's going to take you to where you need to go. I believe you'll break through.